To Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, who's an integrative, holistic vet who can help you make good decisions for your pet's wellness. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here every week to take your calls about your pets, and we'll answer on the air any question you send us to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Also, send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. Please check out all the wonderful pet shows I co-host every week on our network. Tomorrow is Dog Travel Experts, with all the ways to get out of the house with your dog from around the block to around the world. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier, DVMPC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, companies we've invited to be here. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Sean, it's great to be here with you yet again.
Thank you, Ms. Tracy. It's good to be here with you every Tuesday live.
It's live from the center of the universe, Radio Pet Lady Network. Yes, siree, Bobberoo. Last night on not Cat Crazy. Yes, the expert vet, Donna Spector, who's a board-certified internist. I thought I was going to use just part of the show to talk about an email from a couple whose dog Wilma passed away fairly quickly from cancer after having a series of vaccinations all at once. And then she had a series of reactions, and then very few months later, was diagnosed with cancer. And I talked to Donna about it, and I said, you know, it'll be very interesting, Donna, to hear what Dr. Sean has to say, because he's holistic, integrative holistic. You also believe when people want to or it's appropriate in chemotherapy, surgery, and what have you. But you also have other ways of treating cancer. It's something that you've spent a lot of time looking at. But the issue with this dog, Wilma, which I think everyone is going to learn a lot from. I'm going to read you the letter because it's a very good, very specific letter. And I think the thing that's going to jump out at you first and foremost is that these people's vet gave a 9 or 10-year-old dog. She was adopted from Animal Rescue Fund of the Hamptons. I used to know the dog when I lived there. Okay. Wonderful couple. Loved the dog. The dog was not dog-friendly, to put it mildly. Really had a lot of trouble on the end of a leash. The official dog trainer of my NPR show, Dog Talk, Allison Denley, worked with them. At one point, they even drove over to near where my house was and used one of my dogs as bait to see how close another dog could come before Wilma would react. Point being, this dog, by the way, was never around other dogs because she didn't like them. So the vet went and gave her a whole lot of vaccinations at once. And when people have said, I wonder if my dog got sick because of a whole lot of vaccinations, I know you're not supposed to give a whole lot of vaccinations simultaneously. To Weimaraners, I was even warned by the Weim Rescue, they're particularly sensitive, and you should never give bunched vaccinations like the distemper parvo altogether. You should split them up. Okay, so here's the story about Wilma, and I know this will be something that you're going to have a lot to add to. Anyone that has a question about anything to do with vaccination, for sure call us tonight, because this is really a very disturbing but illuminating for the rest of us situation that we all really have to guard against. But our number is 888-627-6008. You can call and still listen while you're on hold, and we can continue our conversation. So don't be shy to call. We'll know you're there. And we're going to give this sweet Wilma's story a good look and hear what Dr. Sean, the natural vet, has to say. Approximately 2 months ago, we lost Wilma. She got ill very quickly, and we were told she had cancer. She appeared to be fine until she received her vaccines for rabies, DA2PP, and leptospirosis. Mm-hmm. She'd had these previously with no adverse reaction. This time, though, she experienced seizures 1 week after the vaccinations, and a few weeks later, her back legs failed. Both of these episodes were one-time-only incidents and very brief in duration. We took her to the vet after each event, and nothing was offered to explain her symptoms. I'm going to stop their email right there, Sean, And let's talk, let's have your response to a 9 or 10 year old dog being given this huge bunch of vaccinations all at once. And when she has the kind of reaction, the bad vaccine adverse reactions that we know about, which would be seizures and neuropathy, back legs failing, the vet says, I don't know. So talk a little about what your feeling is about that information.
Okay, well, let's forget for the moment that she had cancer, as you mentioned.
Yes, well, that comes later. That comes later.
That's an important thing to discuss, too. So I gave a talk this past weekend to the Cocker Spaniel Rescue Group. I'm actually talking to the Lone Star Miniature Schnauzer Group on Saturday.
Oh, my.
And I love doing these talks about an introduction to natural therapies because when I talk about how pets don't need vaccines – some of the participants are right on board. They already know that. They're fortunate their vets are doing some titers, et cetera. A lot of them look at me like, what do you mean not to do vaccines? Because they haven't been introduced to this concept.
Yes.
So if you look at how good our vaccines are that are currently available, and by good I'm talking about how well they produce immunity,
yes.
Most of them.
Yes.
These vaccines can produce immunity for many years. So after puppyhood and kittenhood, I will typically rebooster them a year later with just a few vaccines, not as many as most doctors give, not 7 and 9 and 10 shots. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I'll do a mini booster. The following year, we're drawing blood and doing what's called a titer or antibody test. We use the VaxiCheck system. They're actually one of our sponsors on the show. And we use their in-office titer test. Very easy to do, very inexpensive. And it just lets us know if the dog and soon to be released their cat test, their cats, have what's called a protective titer, meaning is it above a certain number? And this is a numerical
yes.
test. If it's above a certain number, it means the vaccines the pet has had in the past, however long ago, doesn't matter, are still
right.
in the body, protecting the pet from exposure to distemper parvo, for example, since we're discussing that, and that another vaccine would be of no use because the pet's already protected,
yes.
potentially could cause a problem like seizures, like death, like all sorts of things, and is basically a waste of money. And Tracy, just kind of as a side note, you know, when I go to my office each week in Plano, I pass several different vet hospitals. And I'm always just amazed how many people are lined up at some of these hospitals, especially these low-cost vaccine clinics. And I think to myself, well, there's a bunch of idiots. Now, they probably don't know any better, but they're standing in line to give their pets a low-cost vaccine that the pet doesn't need, very well may kill it, but yet they're saving a few dollars.
And
we've done such a horrible thing. Go ahead.
It is a horrible thing. It's something else that you've pointed out in the past that I want to reiterate, that if you go to your own vet who charges whatever the standard of care cost is in your neighborhood, and there is a bad reaction to a vaccine, those companies will stand behind you, your pet, and your vet because it's been administered in a proper setting and you've taken the pet's temperature and you know that pet's history. If you go to a low-cost vaccine lineup, you don't have that protection. And for people
right.
who cannot afford any other way to get a rabies shot, who are truly people who might be on federal assistance, who without this they couldn't possibly afford to get it, that is the point of those clinics. It's not for other people to save a few bucks that they actually have. So I just want to point that out. It's like going to a really delicious soup kitchen because you've heard the food is good, but you don't need that food. You could make your own food. You could afford
right.
your own food. It's
and
wrong.
Even if
to go
you have to go to a low-cost clinic, you don't need to get vaccines every year. You need
Correct.
To use some common sense. Now, if you can't afford the titers, because they do cost a little bit more, not a lot, although some vets do charge a lot, but not a lot, you know, then how often should you go? Well, unfortunately, we don't have a good answer for you. I think at least skipping a couple of years is probably a good idea, but we really don't have an answer since there are a number of vaccines in the market, and of course, we don't know how your pet's going to react to the vaccine. So in my practice, we do the titers, and most of our dogs and cats, we might vaccinate every 5 or 10 years maybe. Rabies is different because of a legal
right.
thing, and I'm not even going to go into that. I'm more concerned about all these other unnecessary vaccines, especially leptospirosis, which most pets don't need, and which is probably the most immunoreactive vaccine. And by that, I mean when I hear about vaccine reactions, with rare exception, that pet's had a lepto vaccine, and that's what caused the reaction. I don't even need to look at the chart. I just know that.
That's very interesting because Donna Spector on the Expert Vet last night didn't speak to that issue. And, in fact, I said to her, That I felt probably that Nancy and Paul, who owed Wilma, and Nancy is calling in. We are talking about you, absolutely. It may be because of me that she was getting a leptospirosis vaccine. I would never, ever tell someone to get all of those on one day. No way. I mean, that is just sloppy medical care. But the thing that Donna said is that description of my dog's lifestyle, which may have been Wilma's. I don't know how much time she spent off leash, but they walked around a lot in the woods, which is where I lived. And I have dogs off leash in woods full of wildlife with sources of standing and running water that they drink out of. And Donna said, in her opinion as an internist, that the protection – my dogs needed protection against leptospirosis, which is carried in the urine and feces of all those wild animals, and it gets into the water. So if you're giving leptospirosis to an urban dog, to a dog who is never in the woods where there's a whole bunch of chipmunks, squirrels, deer, fox, coyote that are peeing and pooing and getting that into the water system, that would be ridiculous.
Yes,
so I'm not sure if Wilma was only walked on leash on a sidewalk, that vet should have asked that. Let's invite Nancy to come on the phone. Nancy, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Dr. Sean and I are talking about Wilma and breaking
hey, Nancy.
Down.
Hello.
Hi hey. There.
Hello.
Hi. We're talking about your email and going through it in great detail because I think what
– I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, sure. We're very grateful that you were willing to take the time not only to reach out when I'm sure you're still mourning, dear Wilma, but also – your specificity and clarity in exactly what happened helps us to not only help you understand what happened, and I know that when you have a death like that so sudden, that the thing you most right. want to know is why and did I do something wrong? Because that's what we all feel, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're just to the point in our conversation about this massive amount of vaccination that she was given simultaneously, and Dr. Sean...
Right.
has pretty much concurred with Donna that we, and I'll say, I don't understand why your vet wouldn't cop to the fact that seizures and back leg failure, that neuropathy, were extremely indicative of an adverse reaction to the vaccines. It was. It doesn't make...
I wrote a letter to my vet after Wilma experienced the seizures, and then, of course, after the back legs failed, a short time after that, and she was taken back to the vet, and I mentioned the possibility of a vaccine reaction causing those two things, and I was pretty much told definitively that the vaccines were not at all involved in any of those reactions.
Which is shocking because Dr. Sean and Dr. Donna, you have a holistic integrative
right.
vet, and you have a board-certified right. internist who does nothing but second opinions for vets and for
right.
and for owners. Both said absolutely, direct correlation, documented, factual, scientific, proven. Now, the cancer is the next step that we're going to get to. Which
now,
vet
before
you...
we do that, though, let me share
yes.
one other thing with you since Nancy's on the phone. So
okay,
we may
good.
Have talked about this before, but I met a lady who's actually become one of my clients named Lori who lost a little Maltese about a year ago, a little dog named Bella. Who little tiny under 5-pound dog went
wow.
to the vet for her annual visit, gave it all these shots, including, of course, leptospirosis. Long story mm-hmm. short, 2 weeks later, the dog was dead from an immune anemia
oh.
that we know was caused by the okay. vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So Lori has made it her mission to try to educate people about the dangers of vaccines. Well, I asked her during her last visit how things were going with that. I knew she had, contacted the vet that administered the vaccines, contacted the state board, blah, blah, blah. At any rate, what was interesting but not surprising is that even our state board said, there's no proof the vaccines caused this dog's death. Well,
right.
sure there is. You give this dog vaccines it doesn't need, especially leptospirosis. 2 weeks later, 2 blood transfusions later, $10,000 later, the dog's dead.
Yeah.
At some point, and this is a real big problem in human medicine when we talk about over-vaccinating children, there was another study that came out like a couple of weeks ago that said there's no link between vaccines and autism. Well, of course there is. Now, I'm not
right.
here to tell you that every child with autism has a direct link to vaccines, because that's not true. Just like every child that gets the vaccine doesn't get autism. That's true, too. But I meet a lot of these parents because they come to my practice since they're doing natural things for their autistic children. They want natural things for their pets. And I ask them about the history of their child's autism. And you have to be an idiot to not see that, you know, your 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old child is normal one day, goes to the doctor this afternoon, gets a whole bunch of vaccines, 48 hours later is retarded and can't function. Well, if you hear that one time, okay, maybe there's a coincidence there. But over and over and over and over, at some point we have to wake up and say, look, vaccines are safe for most people and pets, but genetically there are some that are predisposed to these horrible reactions. We maybe can't identify them yet, but because of that, we need to be much more careful with how we're dealing with vaccines and how we're administering them. And I think that's just so important.
That's a great point, Sean, and the sort of cavalier, oh, as long as you're here, let's stick a few more needles in.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Which happened to Wilma and clearly happens to many dogs all the time. My husband's belief about vaccines is it's not even necessarily the antibodies, but the fluid that they're in, the preservative. Some had mercury, then maybe others don't. And these things change over time, whether it's to be more expedient, to save money, because it's newer science, or whatever. So, again, vaccinations are not something to be taken lightly. What's interesting is a state board in Texas and probably a state board in New York, because you live in Long Island, Nancy, would not ever take the side against the vet because it hasn't been proven. But you have this anecdotal evidence, and you have two vets who have spent their lives treating animals and trying to prevent illness, and both of them immediately say it has not been scientifically proven, because what are you going to do? Take a control group of a lot of 5-pound dogs, give them every vaccine you possibly can, and the other group give nothing, and then what, compare who dies sooner? Yeah. It's crazy. You can't do a scientific study with a control group. It's impossible.
No.
You can only do
No,
go right ahead.
I mean, the only thing that I did want to mention, I mean, in all fairness to my vet, is Wilma did have all of these vaccines in the past and did not have any adverse reactions. I'm sorry?
It's not the point. The point is they were all given at the same time. That's irresponsible. I think we can fairly say that, Sean. It's irresponsible to give all those vaccines to any dog. A dog gets older, their immune system changes. A dog already has immunity. You give a bunch of stuff, as Sean was just saying, she didn't even need. It's going to change the immune system response.
Yeah.
So, you know, just because it worked fine before, it's like saying, well, my kid was stung by – or I was stung by a bee before, and this time I'm in the ambulance with anaphylactic shock. That doesn't make sense. The last time it didn't happen. Well, with some things, your body begins to have its immune system and antibodies stimulated, and then you can have overstimulation, and you can have a dog maybe having some other underlying condition. Maybe, and certainly as she gets older, her immune system definitely becomes less efficient, right, Sean? It becomes weaker, if you will. Doesn't mean that you doubly challenge it all at once with all those injections. And this,
and you know what people don't think about is that when we give vaccines, we know what they're supposed to do. Well, common sense tells you that there's always a small subset of dogs, cats, people, whatever, that don't do what they're supposed to. So it shouldn't come as a surprise when vaccines can do something good for most of the patients by stimulating the proper immunity, that once in a while things might not go well, and it stimulates the incorrect response, then you get this autoimmune anemia this little dog died of, or cancer like we're talking about here with Nancy's dog in a minute, or something inappropriate. It could be arthritis, as Dr. Marty used to like to talk about in his show. All these things that could go wrong once in a while might. And as long as I think we're going to be honest and say, look, these are potential problems, and we need to make sure that if your pet's getting one or more vaccines, that we're doing those things correctly and making sure that it's appropriate at that time for your pet, that's where we need to be, not just cavalierly giving out every vaccine that comes in the door to every pet.
And especially I'm personally – quite shocked that a dog of this age that didn't spend her life in boarding kennels, God forbid. Can you imagine Wilma in a boarding kennel? That would not be a pretty picture.
Oh,
oh my God. No, this is not, would not be what would be good for Wilma or the other dogs. What the heck was he giving her ever? the distemper, the parvo. These are childhood diseases, if you will. It'd be like someone trying to give me, like, you know, the diphtheria and whooping cough at age what God knows what I am now. So this is why the brilliance of Vaxacheck. If for some reason a dog not with Wilma's lifestyle, now this is the other thing that Sean and Donna and all the great vets on the network talk about. Every dog's an individual. Look at her individual lifestyle. If a dog had a lifestyle where the people traveled constantly, the dog was constantly being boarded or in daycare every day in New York City, and therefore not sure if other dogs were protected enough, you got to do the Vaxacheck test in the office. Now, your vet should have known that. If your vet – and your vet made a – I really do believe – and she didn't die of the vaccination. So to say this isn't to heap abuse on somebody. But if this vet incorrectly believed that this dog at 9 years old, living a quite solitary life with humans, a clean, separated from everybody life, somehow misguided thought she might need them, should have checked the titer. Vaxacheck, simple. In the office, 20 minutes later, tells you what is the dog's immunity level to those core diseases. And to give them all at once, Sean, is just sloppy medicine. I mean, aside from the fact that she didn't need them, and I don't know about the leptospirosis either. I mean, I feel guilty if in fact it was something you heard on Dog Talk back in the day when I had first learned about leptospirosis. How bad is that?
I actually never heard about it until 2 years ago when my vet recommended it just because of where we live. Because it is a wooded area and there is a lot of wildlife, and we did walk Wilma in the trails.
Wilma
was never off leash. So he recommended it, and I actually did look into it a little bit, but obviously, much after the fact, after I lost her, and I researched it a little bit more carefully and saw the horrible side effects of this particular vaccine. And one of the particular things that I learned was what you were just talking about, Tracy. It's the adjuvants or adjuvants, or I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, of aluminum something that is considered pretty high up on the carcinogenic list.
Wow.
And that it appeared to really be something not recommended, certainly not for a dog like Wilma, who was not in the wilderness very much.
Right, she was on a controlled path. Yeah. So Sean, Sean already knew this about leptospirosis being dangerous, and I just made an appointment to have the inoculations for my dogs, which I am going to cancel because how bad is this disease? Is it deadly?
Well, the other thing I read about is that it's so treatable. I mean, even if the dog was to contract it, it's allegedly treatable with doxycycline, just like Lyme disease.
I don't know if that's correct
or not, but that's what I read.
Okay, let's see what Sean says.
You know, leptospirosis can be fatal. It can affect the liver. It can affect the kidneys. It's actually transmissible from pets to people. Having said that, I think it depends upon the lifestyle. If you've got dogs that are out there hunting, that are swimming in lakes and ponds and streams, you live where there are a lot of rodents running around, I think leptospirosis should be a consideration. However, you have to understand something about leptospirosis. First of all the vaccines we have, it's probably the worst one for producing long-lasting immunity. The vaccine lasts for about 6 to 12 months at most. Mm-hmm. Number two, there are four different what are called serovars or strains of leptospirosis in that particular vaccine. However, there are many, many, many strains of leptospirosis. The vaccine helps prevent four of them, but there are more strains that are actually becoming more common. So it's kind of like the kennel cough vaccine. The kennel cough vaccine does not protect against kennel cough. It protects against two of about 100 things that cause kennel cough. So if you want to know why your dog that's vaccinated for kennel cough got kennel cough, it's because you didn't get a kennel cough vaccine. You got aborted a Bordetella vaccine. And there's a big difference.
Right. So leptospirosis is potentially deadly, but on the other hand, let's say there's some vaccines that can say a 94 or 92 or 89% protection rate. That wouldn't be the number with leptospirosis because many strains aren't even included
That's
in there.
Correct. And keep in mind, too, when it can be totally curable, but your doctor needs to think about that when you
That's right.
have a liver okay. kidney disease. Yeah. I'm not in favor of just indiscriminate antibiotic use, but if you have a pet, especially a younger pet with liver or kidney problems, it probably would not hurt to put them on an antibiotic short term while you're checking mm-hmm. leptospirosis titers, just to see if those mm-hmm. diseases could be a part of why your pet is having a problem.
Okay, this is really interesting, Nancy. If you'll hold on, we're way past time for our first break. This is just so interesting. I hope that doesn't sound callous of me when we're talking about...
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, a dog that you love that you've lost. But everything that you've brought up is a huge learning potential for all of us. So we're going to be right back after this break, and Dr. Sean is going to fill us in some more about what happened next. We'll be right back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to help solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment and comfort new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feelaway diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. VaxiCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis, and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. All right, we're back with Nancy, Wilma's mom, Wilma, who had these seizures and then her back legs gave out within a short time after this multiple vaccinations. And then, Sean, what happened next, to paraphrase from Nancy's very clear email about it, was about a month later, she had an episode of vomiting and refusing her food. And then within 3 months, there was a serious problem of vomiting and not eating. So Nancy was the kind of owner that every vet would love to have, in the sense of she went to the vet and said, I'm concerned, and the vet did a sonogram and told her that Wilma had several enlarged lymph nodes and a thickening of the abdominal wall consistent with a finding of lymphoma or worse, and probably a 95% chance that it was cancer in her stomach. Now, I thought when I read this, Nancy, well, that – I don't know that those two things could be connected. And yet Dr. Donna on Monday night, and I'm dying to know what Sean thinks, says lymphoma being the most common cancer that dogs get right. grows so fast that there can be a node or a lump, a swelling on a neck that within 48 hours is three or four times the size it was. It grows really fast. And Donna's sense of this was, Sean, that in the same way that you said vaccines can do good and bad, they stimulate the immune system. And if there is already some incipient cancer, it may not cause the cancer, but it may cause it to grow or to Correct. Grow more quickly. You've written some fabulous books about cancer, and as the weeks and months and years go forward, we're going to do whole shows about it because you are just a wealth of information. But in this situation where you have vaccine very short time later, seizures and the legs go out, and within 3 months, 1 month and then 3 months, the dog is having problems with food, and you see this on a sonogram. What do you put together in that picture?
Okay, so I agree with you that the vaccines may not have caused her cancer, but certainly unmasked it.
Yes.
And this is a very mm-hmm. typical history that I get when I talk to our people coming in or on the phone, if we're doing phone consults for people around the country about cancer, one of the first things I say is, okay, your pet's got cancer. We're never going to vaccinate the pet again. And so many people look at me and say, oh my gosh, we went to the vet 3 weeks ago. We just got all the vaccines. You know, either the cancer popped up now or worse, which I hate to hear, which I hear all too often, is we took our dog to the vet for a lump, or a cat, took our vet for a lump. The pet was overdue for vaccines. We went ahead and did the vaccines, and we did a biopsy of the lump the next day, and it was cancer.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm thinking, that's just malpractice screaming at you.
Yes.
We vaccinated pets that had a very possible cancer growing on it that we knew when the pet came in, and yet we still vaccinated it. Or the pet goes in, it's not feeling well, maybe it's had a seizure, maybe it was vomiting. Well, they're still overdue for vaccines. No, 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 no. You don't do those things.
Right.
You find out the cause of the problem first. Then if vaccines are needed, based on titer testing, we may consider doing them.
Well, I just wish I knew all of this several months ago.
Well, you know what, though? This is not
my dog.
You cannot beat yourself up for this because this has nothing to do with you, even though I know you
say
you wish you could do it. Going forward, your tragic story is going to help hopefully save lives. But, you know, I wish everybody understood about vaccines. I wish they understood that they can cause cancer. They can make cancer grow faster. They can unmask cancer. And even if they didn't, why are we so hung up on these stupid shots when you're coming into the vet for a more serious problem? That makes absolutely no sense.
Right. Or doing them all at once. Nancy,
yeah.
we really admire you for your courage in coming to us with this and in talking to us about it, because it's, you only lost her a couple of months ago, and this is very still raw for you. But Sean is right, and I have absolutely no doubt that you have saved a lot of lives by bringing this up.
That was my intention, Tracy, in contacting you. Certainly not to blame anybody, but if there was any connection between the vaccines and what happened, even if it was something that accelerated the cancer that was already there. If people are educated not just to blindly follow what's told to them and ask for these titers, you know, we could be saving a lot of wonderful animals.
That's exactly right. And I will say that when the time comes that you're going to add another animal to your family, I think it's pretty clear you wouldn't be returning to that vet anyway. The Chinese used to send people to the countryside to be reeducated.
That's
sort of what we need to do with this vet. Needs to go to the countryside.
A lot of vets, yes.
Yeah, needs to be re-educated. May have to go on the farm and dig a lot of soybeans
You and I need to do the re-education, Tracy.
I would be scared for him to have us doing it, Sean. We might be a little tougher than even the Chinese government. Nancy, you have a good night. Keep listening and know that
thank you very, very much.
God bless you
sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Lots of love to you. And we've got a call from Jen, who's calling in on this topic. Jen, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. How can we answer your question?
Yes, hi. I have been longtime listeners of both of you on Sirius.
Oh, yippee! You found us. Hooray!
I discovered tonight that when I was looking for you in my time of need, I just so lucked out and found you both on the phone tonight.
That's great. We're very happy.
I have a 7-year-old female cat who I noticed was having frequent urination, and then I noticed some blood, so I took her to the vet, and she's been a very healthy cat and has never been ill. So I've been very lucky, but she ends up having urinary crystals, which I've heard lots about, of course, listening to you guys, but it's been a while, and I don't know the best way to go. I don't know what to do about it because I want to do the best treatment, and you know, unfortunately, this economy's got me, so I have to make economical choices, but I want to take good care of her.
I can jump in first, and then Sean can follow, because it's a topic that has come up a lot on the show the night before this night, Jen, Cat Crazy.
Oh,
so you definitely want to download some of the podcasts and listen to them. A lot of the vets on there, especially Dr. Donna and Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, who's the official vet of Cat Crazy, and she'll be on next week and the week after. I'm sure you heard her from time to time on Cat Chat. They're very clear about a couple of things. And one is that crystals in the urine don't really mean anything. It's absolutely nothing to be worried about. And not only may they not even be in her urine in her body, because crystallization starts the minute that the urine sample is refrigerated. So all they're finding is crystals after they left her body. But having crystals per se doesn't mean that they'll become stones or the cat will become blocked. You need lots of fluids, and you need feel away to lower stress, because a lot of these urinary tract issues are stress related, and you can't feed dry food, which if you used to listen to Cat Chat, you know, no dry food, right?
Well, you guys make that difficult because there's so many differing opinions about that. I never know what to do, so I make it both.
Oh, that's very simple.
Some of you say yes, some of you say no, some of you have different opinions. It makes it so
hard. Who are the people that you trust and respect who know what they're talking about?
Well, all of you, and you all have some varied opinions. It's so difficult.
Not on Radio Pet Lady Network.
On Radio Pet. I know. You say it's like Fritos. I got you down, Tracy. But other people say different things, and you don't know what to do.
Not on the Radio Pet Lady Network, sweetie. Other people who may be paid by pet food companies, who may have the wool pulled over their own eyes. Dr. Sean is gentle with his clients because some of them need to be slowly educated about wet food, but they're obligate carnivores. You can't look for health in your cat. You can't worry about saving money if you're going to feed her kitty crack. If you're going to give her food that's wrong for an obligate carnivore, that they can't properly digest or metabolize, then you're going to wind up with all sorts of problems. And you can have $1 million.
Just so you guys know all about the cat, for their dry food, they do get a very high quality dry food, because I have had to make choices of what they will and won't eat. So they do get wellness protein diet and another wellness indoor for their, so it's not the worst of the worst. You know, it's a pretty good dry food, but they also get wet food daily 2 times a day.
Okay, if they're having wet food twice a day, and Sean knows where I come from about this, and I there's no way to feel more passionately about it than I do. In fact, I had a total falling out with someone who was going to be a vet who was going to come and be a guest host on Cat Crazy, who equivocated and said, well, there's a couple of situations in which I recommend dry food. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I respect how you've come to your decision, but I couldn't possibly tell the public looking to me for health advice to do that. So the fact that a bag says on it indoor cat formula is a huge red flag. This is a marketing ploy. A cat's digestion, Jen, doesn't change because they live in the house. Their digestion doesn't change because they're allowed out in the yard. Cats need to be indoors in the modern world to stay alive. But the idea that there is a formula that's for indoor cats, as opposed to what exactly, is absurd because their digestive system doesn't change. It's the same for every single kitty. It's been this way for thousands of years, unlike dogs whose digestive systems, their teeth, many parts of their bodies have changed as they've evolved and become the 5-pound Maltese. The cat in your house, your sweetheart, has the same digestive system and the same need for meat, meat, meat as the lion in the zoo. So, Sean, you know, what would you say to someone who says, gosh, I'm a little worried about money, and they say my cat has crystals in her urine? I'd say, relax.
I pretty much agree. You know, if there's any way that obviously you could have her checked out just to make sure maybe we don't have an infection or something going on. Obviously,
well,
you've already had her checked out.
Right when the blood was there.
So let me ask you this then. What is the doctor saying about the crystals? That's the first question I would ask. What's he saying to do?
They told me there was crystals in there, her urine, and she needed a special diet. I had them fax me yesterday. This has all just happened in the last 24 hours.
So all right, so let me tell you this. I think that I'm going to agree with Tracy that if you want to use a special diet.
Hang on, she's still talking, Sean. She can't hear us.
All right, so let me say this. I'm going to agree with your vet a little bit and say that your pet does need a special diet. And I'm going to agree with Tracy and say the special diet should be wet food. Now, you're feeding a very good food. That's a very nice company. So they make wet food. So I would say
I can't get them to eat that wet food.
You can't get them to eat it?
Have you tried
Maroon's? I've tried some of the best brands of wet food. And so that's why I had to compromise, because they would eat like Merrick for a little while and then they would stop, or they would eat something, you know. So I've tried those
things.
Well,
didn't you just tell me that they were eating some canned food? Are they not eating any canned food at all right now?
No, they do eat canned food now, and I give them the best that I can afford right now, which is super great, and then I try to you know, even it out, you know. So I try to pick things that have more meat in them than anything.
Okay, but Jen, listen. Hang on one sec. We can't all talk at once. If money is the issue, you can get a much less expensive wet food that is high quality and high protein. You can go to my website, and it's now on the website of RadioPetLady.com, or it's on TracyHochstrom.com. There's a downloadable printable list of Cat Chat approved canned foods. There's some from the supermarket,
yes, and I use
all the way to the high end. You do not have to be spending masses of money. Waruva makes foods like BFF, Best Feline Friend. Many of them are chicken-based. They cost half of what their brands Cat in the Kitchen and Waruva cost, and they're made by the same people in a human food facility. They make Solistic for Petco. These are much more affordable. They're very high quality. If your cats are eating wet food twice a day, they don't need any other food. Think how little the meat is on a little mouse or a little chipmunk. And a cat, if they're lucky, might catch one of those a day. Others have to eat a few bugs. I mean, cats don't need a lot of quantity. If they're eating two wet meals a day, you're good. You're done. You're set. And the vet, Sean, was very clever and funny. He's right. Your cats need a different diet,
yes.
All wet.
Just not and the crap all wet. He's selling.
That's right, lovey. Now, you just hang on, Jen. We're not going to leave you hanging, but we do have to go to another break because we got very caught up with Wilma. But we want to set you straight about this. Obviously, the goddess of the universe has sent you here 24 hours after you got this information. So clearly, we're here to put your mind at rest and keep your kitty well. So you just hang on while we go to a break. When we come back, we're going to hold your hand and go tra-la off into the buttercups, and you're going to feel so much better and not be stressed. We're going to be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. This show is also supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional supplement for dogs. It provides a special blend of more than 55 nutrients to improve the health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. In a scientific study of learning ability, the dogs who took Platinum Performance Supplement had better memory of new skills they learned compared to the control group of dogs that did not get Platinum Performance. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's a Platinum Feline Formula for cats, too. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. So, Jen, we're back. And the question, I guess, that we didn't ask Sean is why did you go to the vet in the first place? You've had a super healthy kitty. Did you go in with no symptoms, no complaints, no problems, and the vet announces you have crystals?
I noticed her trying to urinate more and looked like she was drinking a lot. So I lessened the amount of water she drank, and she continued to try to go to the bathroom, and then I noticed blood in the urine, so we went right away.
Okay. You said you tried to lessen the amount of water she was drinking?
Well, she's a very good water drinker, and one of the things she loves is, like, dripping water in the bathtub. So I always leave it at a drip. And so she always is drinking, so I noticed that she was peeing a lot, and just for a very brief period of time, I lessened the amount of water that was available to her and noticed that she was still trying to pee, so I noticed the straining in the pee, and that made me concerned. And then I started looking around because she had peed some places that she shouldn't have been, and I noticed that there was blood, what looked like blood. So we went, as soon as we realized she was sick, we went right away.
Okay, here's what I would recommend.
Never been sick before, and we don't get immunizations and other things that are not recommended. That, you know, basically from listening to you guys, we don't get needless shots.
Good. Well, that's super. I think the most valuable thing, the best spending of your money would not be to buy the Cat Bible, which I wrote, or any of Sean's six books. It would be to buy Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin's book, Your Cat. I think you really need to have that book on your shelf, Jen. It's going to explain to you exactly what the cause of these symptoms are, the best way to handle it, not with spending a lot of money. If you have any doubts, and clearly you still do, about feeding kitty crack and dry food and why you would ever do that when you've already got cats eating wet food, Dr. Elizabeth's book, in the most dispassionate, clear, scientific, logical, rational way — she owned a feline-only clinic and raised Ossa cats for years — will explain it to you. This is not if the cat gets totally blocked, it's an emergency. But don't withhold any fluids from her. The more she drinks, the better. I mean, that's
she always
for sure.
has other fresh water available to her. It was just that's just the extra fun water.
Oh, I see. That's the fun one. Okay. Well,
that's always going because she likes to chase drops and drink it off her ball. And, you know,
she sounds adorable. Sean, with the straining and the bit of blood in the urine, obviously there's something going on. But as you point out, it's often very hard to figure out in a cat. People treat for a urinary tract infection when it isn't one.
Especially in cats. I think if we can get this cat on a nice wet food, one of the good brands that you mentioned on your website, I think that's a really good start. If the bleeding continues, okay, there are a number of different herbs and homeopathics you can use. And if, you know, we're concerned about a bladder stone, I know you're concerned about the money right now, but at some point an x-ray might be helpful, maybe just not yet.
Right, because we don't know there's a stone.
Is it possible to notice them passing a little stone or crystal? Because
you might notice some crystals.
They gave her an antibiotic, which may or may not help. But it's almost like she freaked out when she peed and then, like, rubbed herself on the floor and, you know, like something caught really off guard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably not going to know if she has a bigger bladder stone. Little tiny stones and crystals you might see in the urine, you may not. So I'm not going to worry about stones. I'm just saying if she doesn't get better, you might consider stones.
I think I really do. I cannot recommend to you highly enough to buy Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin's book, Your Cat. Make sure you buy her Your Cat. Another person has come along and used her title, someone whose opinion about cats, I personally disagree with almost everything he has to say. It's all about, you know, what's sold on the supermarket shelf, period.
I don't have a problem trying to make a full switch to wet food. You know,
goody.
Their feeding times might vary more. I mean, I've always been on the fence about that anyway. I have a question. They told me something about Chinese crystal stone formula and crayon chew. Is that something I should look into using to help her, or you don't think that would work?
I think cranberry is fine. I need to get some bladder supplements on my website.
That's a good idea.
Next thing to do, yeah, because I've got a bunch of other supplements.
So many people have bladder problems. That would be really good, Sean. Because, you know, you're obviously holistically thinking, Jen, and by not buying the expensive dry food, you save a little money right there. And we really want to save you those vet visits, because the stress of going to the vet can actually exacerbate a urinary tract problem. Depending on a cat who has been well her whole life, doesn't go to the vet often, the stress of being there for some cats is in itself a problem. So we don't want you to be going there unless you absolutely need to. And lots of fluids and no kitty crack. And after you get Elizabeth Hodgkin's...
Should the fact that my vet sells this food be a concern to me?
We're all concerned about it. It's the nature of modern veterinary medicine. It is a conflict of interest.
I disagree with my vet on different topics. And when I've been there, I've tried to discuss it with him, but he's kind of set in his
ways.
It's probably time to find another doctor.
It's really hard to have the conversation.
Yeah, well, I live in a rural area, so it's not the easiest thing to do. That's why I've always relied on your information. So thank you.
Sure.
Well, the main thing I'd recommend, I've given up with my own vet discussing the junk that she sells. You know, and she's a really good vet, and I respect her and like her. There's some conversations you should not have at the dinner table and you shouldn't have with your vet. If you are smarter than your vet, then you're going to just have to make good decisions. Now, Dr. Elizabeth has a chapter called Feline Bladder Problems, Never Again. So the whole chapter is about why you get urinary tract problems and how to avoid and prevent them. And it's just, it's only 5 pages long. That's all it would take your vet to learn. And these are things that people okay. should know. And, you know, it's just, we're much slower to learn things about cats as in the
so
veterinary.
You guys are telling me it's safe not to rush to this diet, this dry food or wet food, expensive diet they're telling me she needs.
Oh, I'm begging you not to give that food. Begging you.
Well, that was why I just didn't trust it. So that's why I didn't
Good.
Do it.
Trust your instincts. Like Dr. Sean said, give your nice quality dry food to a very nice rescuer shelter. Stick with wet food only. Get her to drink as often as she can. Some of this is sometimes stress-related. I mean, most urinary tract problems in cats have to do with stress, stress you may not even be aware of. I think a feel-away diffuser in the house, which may sound crazy, okay. and you can get it right off Dr. Sean's website, could be an incredible investment in overall health. Cats get stressed over something that we aren't even aware of, and it can happen just randomly. And and the first place you see stress symptoms is in the urinary tract. It could be something as simple as needing to chill out a little bit. So,
like a new cat introduced to a household that one cat doesn't like would be.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely. I mean, we didn't even ask you if something.
It's a problem that would take a little bit of time to develop, possibly. Because
yes, sure.
My roommate got a pet that she doesn't care for.
There you go. There you go. So we've got
yeah.
stress.
And
you've got to get
She's never been unhealthy before. I mean, she's a little
yeah.
chunky, but she's never.
Okay, so she's only chunky because of the dry food. I want you to go to Dr. Sean's website, petcarenaturally.com, and get a feel-away diffuser. It's not cheap. It lasts for the stuff in it lasts for 30 days. Once you buy the diffuser, you just buy the refills. It is the best investment
right.
you can make. And give your cat a room of her own and keep her away from that other cat for now. Really separate them because
okay.
right now she needs to chill, okay? We're really glad you mm-hmm. called. I want you to get your cat.
Thank you for all the helpful information.
We're thrilled you found us. We're here every Tuesday night. You take care, Jen. We have to go to a quick break because the show's almost over. Good golly. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to make closing fabulous comments to leave you with. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Scientific tests show that Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Waruva Pet Foods are privately owned and made in a human food facility, so they're good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio shows in the world. If you're enjoying this show, please check out all the other shows I co-host. Mondays, there's Cat Crazy with veterinarian co-hosts, followed by The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna. Second opinions on difficult medical problems. Tuesday is Cat Chat and Dog Talk with Dr. Sean, the natural vet, followed by my long-running NPR show, Dog Talk. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog. Thursday, it's A Dog's Life with trainer Greg Cleva, followed by Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a veterinary nutritionist with advice about feeding your dogs and cats. You can listen to any previous shows in the podcast libraries at RadioPetLady.com. Dr. Sean, the hour flew by. I wanted to discuss your fabulous book, The Natural Vet's Guide to Preventing and Treating Arthritis in Dogs and Cats, and we didn't even come within a mile of it. So how about next week, huh? I mean, it's such a great book, and arthritis is just not understood. Prevention is possible. Treatment, natural treatment, is better than almost anything. And you wrote a great book that people should have, anybody with a pet over five. That's the age, right, to start supplementing.
Yeah, that's when I start to worry about arthritis, even as young as five, just to be safe.
Yep. Well, this has been a great hour. I think we had a lot of you know, like really intense issues that it's important that people understand that they can have a vet they like and respect and admire, and they might have to disagree with them. And sometimes we just have to learn, you got to just man up and be that person who disagrees. You don't have to be nose to nose about it. But I think it's a great value for people that you're available. And this is something that people need to know, that you're not only available just on the air, but if a vet and a owner want to have a consultation with you, if they want to go more holistically and use herbs and supplements, which you've spent your life both studying and also formulating your own products, people should do that, because people are learning a lot about things that are done automatically, knee-jerk, in veterinary medicine, and they want something different. They want something individualized and less chemical and less with side effects and less harmful. So I think what you have to offer is really special, and the lucky thing is you don't have to be in Plano, Texas. You don't have to fly to see you. It is possible to do with email and telephone, yes?
Absolutely. You're literally a phone call away. We can talk, and we usually spend about a half an hour going over anything that you want to talk about. I'll give you suggestions to go back to your doctors to get some more information, maybe have some more testing run. And, of course, we have our wonderful supplements that many times we'll send out to people so you can use some of the same therapies we use in my practice and the same things we talk about on our show here each and every week.
Exactly. Well, we really have enjoyed spending the evening with you guys. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for trusting us and listening to us. And if you disagree or you're confused, radiopetlady@gmail.com. You write me, and Dr. Sean and I will be all over your email the very next time we're on the air, which will be a week later. And tell your friends they can listen to this show on podcast. There's a whole library being built up, so people better do their homework. Right, Sean? Catch up.
Absolutely.
You have a great night, sweetie. Thank you for your
wisdom
and your compassion. Have a great night. Bye for now.